Senator Jacobson on the phone line this morning. How you doing today, Mike?
Very good, Corey. Thank you.
Are you on your way to Lincoln, or are you situated, ready to go?
I'm stayed in Lincoln last night and heading to the Capitol. Actually, I've got a meeting at a location outside the Capitol, and then on over the Capitol after that. So Okay. Yes.
Kind of alternating getting, I noticed on the calendar, some weeks are giving you Mondays off, other weeks you get Friday off, so sometimes a four-day weekend, other times you got to, like this week, be in on Monday, huh?
Well, this is just the first time we went through most of the session thus far, 5-day weeks, but from here on out, it's going to be 4-day weeks, So it's either you get Monday, we either get Friday off or Monday off, and so and sometimes we have both of them off. So we'll have so that does work out pretty well. It allows you to go home and get some work done and see some people, and so that we've been looking forward to that.
Day 53, so a little past the midpoint of the session, and catch us up with activities last week that are on your radar.
Well, last week was the last week of committee hearings, so they finished up on Friday. Actually, I should say there is a committee meeting over noon today. I believe it's the retirement committee, but they're not a standing committee, but the standing committee finished up last week, and judiciary was, I think, had 4 or 5 hearings, bill hearings, and so they're done. And this today will begin the first week of all-day floor debate. I guess we'll be all-day floor debate for a few weeks, and then we go to late nights. There are certain nights that have been reserved for late night where we could go into the evening. Nobody, I might add, looks forward to late nights. No one. And frankly, our worst legislation occurs during the late night time. So it would be nice to maybe forget about late nights and just take care of what we can take care of. But last week with the hearings, the floor debate was primarily filibuster. They were filibustering the paid sick leave, which is Senator Stroman's bill. He was did a nice job of navigating the bill. So that was his, as a freshman, that was his first piece of major legislation that went through. And it did pass, got 34 votes on general file. As you may recall, the paid sick leave was on the ballot last year and overwhelmingly passed. But then I always like to say, if I told you there was a ballot initiative that said, I'll give you $5,000 just for if we can get this passed, would you vote for it or would you vote against it? Meaning that who doesn't want paid sick leave?
Right.
I would guess probably the employer, mandatory paid sick leave, one day off for every 30 hours worked. So it's a pretty good amount of paid sick leave. I always get concerned about government mandates. If your employer does not offer paid sick leave, and you want it or need it, go to work for someone else. Okay. I always feel like that we've got, and that's what this bill really attempted to do, is even though there was a ballot initiative, it has to go to the legislature to put the guardrails or basically put the rules in place. So there was nothing nefarious about what went on last week and what's going on with this bill. There will be paid sick leave, mandatory paid sick leave, and it also outlines the rate in which it would be paid. What it doesn't do, and what this bill did, was essentially said that if you're under 10 people in your employ, that you're not required to do it. If you're a independent contractor, you're not required to do paid sick leave. These are the things that the details, if you will, that have to go into this. People don't realize that there are some employers who, frankly, you add on minimum wage, and then you add on paid sick leave, and then you add on something else, and pretty soon they're saying, I can't afford to hire anybody. I can't afford to be in business, and they aren't. So there's two sides of this coin, and as much as it's really nice, everyone would like to have paid sick leave, it sounds like a great idea, unless you're the employer that's having to write the check for that, or not having people there to do the job, and suddenly it becomes a problem. I know people say, well, we don't want people coming to work sick. Well, what happens is, what you have is the reverse of that. You have people using all their paid sick leave and they feel fine and they don't come to work because of paid sick leave. So it's a difficult situation. There are some cases where no one games the situation, but unfortunately, many people do. And so, I think it's a balanced bill. I think it's a bill that does the intent of what the voters wanted, and has paid sick leave, but it does with employers that can really perhaps afford to do it. So
yeah,
that's the long and the short of it. It
looks
so,
like there's a spate of bills too, such as Bo Ballard's LB 415, that are going to exempt certain businesses from it. So it seems like there's one by Stroman, I see 698, which would exempt several groups from the ballot initiative, including temporary and seasonal agricultural employees, workers under 16, and businesses with 10 or fewer employers. So I think with these additional ones, if they pass too, then that's probably going to help.
Those bills were really, it was Ballard's bill, and Stroman's bill got amended into Ballard's bill. So the entire bill moved forward, yes. So I do think it's very commonsensical, and I think it was the right way to go. And so we'll see. It's still got two more rounds, but it did get 34 votes, and that means it got every Republican vote, and it got one Democrat vote, which was Senator Raybould, who is part of the Brussels Super Saver. So she has grocery stores, and she and her brother, and I think they can. They see the impact firsthand because they have a lot of 16-year-olds or those under 16. This is just a part-time gig for them. And I don't think they're expecting to have paid sick leave, nor was that really the intent of the bill.
Speaking of Senator Raybould, that brought to mind what we visited about extensively last week, too. Where are we at on the her bills of the Perkins, dealing with funding for the Perkins County Canal?
I don't think those got out of committee. So there was a pretty strong feeling that should not move forward and won't move forward. So even if they got out of committee, but I believe those were Appropriations Committee bills, and they're staying in Appropriations Committee.
So the funding is on track for the canal, and it looks like that project's going to go ahead with full funding then?
Yes, it should.
Okay.
So they're continuing to acquire land right now and continue to work through the process. But funding is going to stay in place. It's not going to get diverted.
Okay. Senator, can I ask you to stay on the line here a few minutes, and we'll take a break. And when on the other side, to ask you about Senator Megan Hunt's LB 367, a ban on conversion therapy for minors, and get your thoughts on that as Muggs continues here in just a few here on KODY on this Monday morning. Welcome back to Muggs in the Morning, brought to you by Shelter Insurance Agents Pete Voles and Brent Rogo for home, life, auto, boat, RV, you name it, insurance. Call the Shelter Guys of North Platte. Time and Temp brought to you by Grease Monkey of North Platte. We have 33 degrees under overcast skies and winds are calm. Pretty good chance of showers today, and highs will be around 50, may just barely crest 50 degrees, and pretty much the same, except for tomorrow. It'll be in the 60s, but pretty much the whole week's going to be in the lower 50s, with the exception of tomorrow. Senator Jacobson has stuck around for a few extra minutes. And, Mike, talk about this LB 367 introduced by Senator Hunt of Omaha, which would prohibit credentialed health care professionals from providing conversion therapy to anyone under the age of 19 in Nebraska.
Well, again, Senator Hunt is, this is kind of follow through from last year. And transgender, there is a bill, Senator Kalt's bill, which would restrict men who have converted to women from participating in women's sports. Senator Hunt, when you first read the bill, you think, well, it's prohibiting gender therapy. Well, gender therapy is the early steps when a child isn't sure and is confused by what gender they might be, that you're prohibited from providing therapy to them to be able to walk them through this and basically prevent the conversion. And so she is clearly very left-wing, and this bill will go nowhere, but it's a statement piece more than anything else. And so I would not expect it to go anywhere, but she will bring stuff like that just to make a statement.
Yeah, reading the article online, it's clear, you know, when you have things like this, the battle lines are clearly drawn, and you can't be neutral on something like this. But they got a lot of supporters, and somebody that said, somebody from out Nebraska said, conversion therapy is not based in science, not in medicine, and not in fact. It is rooted in false, outdated ideas that the LGBTQ plus people are unnatural or need to be cured. So,
Yeah, I would say that your statement's pretty accurate.
the battle lines for where? Do you think that bill is it going to go? Does it have a chance to pass? Or
no, it won't go anywhere. The Republicans will be opposed to it, and you need 25 votes, and if it's filibustered, you need 33, and it's not even close. So if it gets out of committee, it will not go anywhere on the floor if it gets scheduled. So
mm-hmm.
I would tell you that that's probably one of the frustrations is, when you get down here, whether it be the Nebraska Examiner or who picks it up, you always find that there is a tendency to carry bills that are to write about bills that that are out there, and really doesn't write about. You don't see a lot written about the bills that are serious and have a chance to pass and affect everyday Nebraskans, and that's too bad that we don't have. There are a number of bills that are controversial bills that are legitimate, that people are going to be on one side or another for various reasons, and probably deserve a lot of discussion. But suggesting that there should not be any therapy, outlawing it, banning it, seems a little over the top. So
yeah, it does. I see that a bill that would limit when school bond elections may be held failed to advance from select file last week. That was Senator Holdcroft's LB 135. I'm guessing you were against that.
Actually, I voted yes on the
you
bill.
Did? Okay.
And what the but the bill did not pass. What the attempt was to get school bond elections timed out with originally with presidential elections. Then it got amended to where it timed out so you could have an election every 2 years, and then it got adjusted to where you could have a bond election every 6 months, but there would be a specific time of the year or date in the year that you could hold the election. what this was about was we had a situation, we've had several situations in the Lincoln-Omaha area where they're not sure they have the votes to pass the bond election. So rather than have it during a regularly scheduled election where you get a large turnout, the plan is to do a special election as recently as 2 months from the regularly scheduled election, and then you hope to get more supporters to show up, and so you get 25% of the voters vote, and the bulk of them are for the ballot initiative. So
right.
So they've used that to game the system. So this bill would basically say you can't do these special elections except for a specific time when voters are more likely to show up and vote. So the bill is aimed at being able to not have special elections any time of the year. The opponents largely were opposed because they were concerned that contractors would need to go out and plan ahead for building a large project. And if you have them coming at the same time, then you've got all these projects starting at the same time. I don't see that as a huge risk. And I think it's always good to have registered voters show up and vote for these items that are going to result in a bond issue and hence additional tax dollars. So the bill was really designed to be a pro-property taxpayer bill. And I think the bill was a good bill, but I think there were more people that were present not voting than I had seen on an actual legitimate bill before. It was I think the vote was 16-16, and then the balance was present not voting, and those were people that really I don't know why they voted present not voting, whether they couldn't decide or. Whether or what the concern was, but there were a number that were present not voting.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention before we let you do your main job?
Well, I would tell you that, as I mentioned before, this is the first week of all-day floor debate, and so we can move through a filibuster a lot faster. We've got bills coming up this week that will be everything from finishing up on what we had last week, but we will be talking about the brand bill. Senator Ibaugh brought the bill. I originally was in favor of the bill if it would spur a debate to be able to reach a good compromise. That compromise did not come, so I officially removed my name from the bill last week. Actually the week before, but it got read across on Tuesday. And unless there's a major amendment, it's being amended now. After I removed my name, there were attempts to make amendments to it, but I'm not sure that we're going to get to where we need to be. And so I will probably continue to be a no vote on the bill going forward.
Okay, and if they'd like to get a hold of you, obviously they can email you or call your office, and I'm sure you'll always respond as soon as you can.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike. Have a good week. Take care.
You too.